Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Sports City. Welcome back to the kitchen. The Sports City cookout is about to take place. We got y'all for the next 90 minutes locked and loaded in this kitchen. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunting next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise it wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
Call in number is 917-889-9596. Got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Man, it's going to be a pretty good one. I feel some type of way. Y'all know how I feel, man. I gotta stand on this soapbox and defend myself or defend the clique. But either way, I'm going to do this as best as I possibly can. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, I have Tommy B here in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good.
Okay, that's all we get today out of Virginia. But like I said, the show must go on. This is a big day. Now, let me start off by saying this. You know what I'm saying? A lot of interesting perspectives in the sport world today. You know, on what happened last night. So I'm actually gonna save that. I'm gonna sit on that as time floats on. You know, but it's the cookout, so. I want to get to Tommy first and foremost. Him being a Nats fan, we were just talking about this briefly in the green room about the mega deal that actually went down with Bryce Harper. 10-year extension. They're saying that this is tipping the borders of nobody ever seeing this type of endorsement money from any sporting venue, whether it was, you know, Michael Jordan dealing with, you know, the batteries or ballpark hot dogs or Hanes, whatever Michael Jordan was involved in. Nope, not Mike. LeBron and everything that he's had his hand in with Nike and things of that nature, he doesn't touch it. Allen Iverson with Reebok, things of that nature, nobody. Even Steph Curry, last year with the number that Steph actually put up, Steph is underneath them, and they're in the same label or the same market of you know, representing Under Armour. Now, I know a lot of people out there are wearing Under Armour, especially in those, you know, the sports that actually have that, you know, undergarment wear, whether it be football, whether it be basketball and baseball, you could include that. And how big Bryce is to the game of baseball right now. Him being only in the range of 22, 23 years old in front of a mega deal for the next 10 years, your thoughts on this, him being I guess you get to show your homer situation and also analytically on Bryce and how big this deal can be at the end of the day for Mr. Harper.
Big. I mean, this dude just off his vest will be set for life, supposedly. He's only 23 years old. Literally just turned 23, I believe, a couple months ago. So for 10 years, he'll be under this contract till he's 33. This dude, I wish I had a bank, because I'd be calling him, because I had to put your money in this bank. Because in 2018, he's a free agent. And they're already talking that he could be the first 400 million athlete. I mean, this dude is going to be set for life. Now, do I agree that he's could be the highest paid, I mean, endorsement? I don't know. Because like we were talking, I don't know about that with Jordan. I mean, look what Jordan McDonald's. He had Nike. He had, I mean, I don't know about that. But, I mean, congratulations for everything Bryce has gotten and going to get. I can't hate what he's done and the numbers that he's putting up. I mean, hey, good for him. Congratulations, because who am I to hate someone to make money?
I look at it like this, because he can only potentially get better. They say a male's prime is at the age of 26, 27 years old, in which I think it probably will extend for him in the game of baseball, because he gets to preserve himself and not really put himself in harm's way, even though he plays harmful baseball, the way that he hustles, similar to the old school, you know, Charlie Hustle, a.k.a. Pete Rose era, the way that he hacks at the ball, you know, God forbid something crazy happens to him, and I don't, and I'm knocking on wood right now as we speak to and saying that. But knowing that they're trying to bring baseball back, trying to build this sport up, knowing that there are some names within the sport that are, you know, big-time relevancy, you know, you got guys like Puig, you got guys like Giancarlo Stanton, you also got Bryce as well. Just throwing some of the big names out there, Chris Bryant, another name that people are trying to build off of. Bryce is that guy right now, and let alone Under Armour trying to get into the runnings with the likes of Nike, Adidas, Reebok, you know. But more or less, I think that the one that they're trying to go head-to-head with is Nike. And everything that they're soaking out of Bryce and what Bryce is actually bringing to the game, Bryce is already involved with Gatorade right now. He has a commercial out with Gatorade as well. This right here, and a lot of athletes that go through their select sport or venue that they address, they're set for life unless they, you know, do some irresponsible spending or they're out there, you know, playing around and you know, gambling in a way or buying, you know, stuff that's unnecessary. Then those things actually come to, you know, to the front door, if you will. But looking at this for Bryce Harper, I mean, let alone this is what he has to wear on a day-by-day basis. He's getting a 10-year extension on top of what he's gaining. And they're saying by the end of the venue or the revenue that Under Armour is supposed to pull in, they're supposed to pull in close to $5 billion. Now, I know that's not in the ballpark of, you know, Paul Knight, you know, the guy out there in Oregon running the show for Nike and stuff, but I mean, this has actually helped turn Under Armour around with the guys like Steph and Bryce and big names in these sporting venues. Hell, once they got Cam Newton also for football too, so they've actually tried to corner the market to try and get some of the big name athletes that a lot of the kids of today are looking forward to following. So, Bryce Harper, this is a mega deal. I can't wait to hear the final numbers on it, but it's a 10-year deal. It'll be at the doorstep of what, 32, 33, 34, however you pan this out. He'd still be fairly, you know, within range of still playing great baseball. Like I said, I'm knocking wood if anything bad happens. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. But this is a, you know, a great deal in itself for Bryce Harper. But, you know, what does it happen? You know, what happens to other athletes that come to the game that actually are playing dominant whatever sport it may be? Do they go, you know, above and beyond Bryce? Do they put him in the ballpark? Do they settle within the neighborhood? I mean, those things do come into play after you look at this.
Yeah, and you also got to think, like I said, he becomes a free agent in 2 years. What if he signs with the American League team? He doesn't have to play all every day. They can put him at DH to save him. Too. So, I mean, there's a lot that can, I mean, gee, I mean, like we said, he's still at his prime.
So you really think that a team like the Yankees or somebody will come gunning for him to get him out in the National League?
Yeah. In 2018, that winter break, that winter,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, every Major League Baseball team's going to be throwing money at that man. Wouldn't you? Say like you owned what if the worst team there is, and they were the worst team, wouldn't you be calling for him?
Well, see, if I'm looking at it for the Twins, I'd be in trouble because they have a high porch in right field, and he's left-handed, so a lot of his, you know, his hitting goes to the right field fence. So he have to jack each punch, you know, basically for Minnesota. So he'd be good outside of the park.
I really seriously see him doing three things. One, going back to the Nationals. If he's there, if we still have Dusty, we got a very good chance of getting him because he's already said he loves playing for Dusty Baker. He couldn't see himself playing for any other coach. I see him going somewhere out west, close to home, because he's from Vegas. He's from Las Vegas, so he could do that. Or he could go play with a good friend of his in Chicago, Chris Bryant.
And not only does he like playing for Dusty, I've seen a recent game he hit a home run, and after he hit the home run, and gave everybody a high five in celebration. He runs through the dugout to get over to Dusty, and he bear hugs Dusty from behind and like starts shaking him like he can't believe that the tear that he's on. And then Dusty started laughing all hysterically, and you know you could tell Brett is into it. So I could tell that these two have a good rapport, camaraderie with one another. So. It's actually good to see this happen again for Dusty Baker. Kind of similarly looks like 2003 all over again with him and Barry Bonds. Okay, we do have Mr. Silver here at the door. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, feeling good. Heavy traffic out there. Be careful if you're driving in the traffic anywhere. A bunch of accidents lately, wrong way drives and things of that nature out here in Arizona. So. Wherever you stay, Virginia, Connecticut, Arizona, California, you know, North Dakota, whatever, just be mindful on the roads and be careful out there. Other than that, man, feel good. How about y'all?
It's not even that, man. How far are you from Mesa?
Oh, not that far.
You be careful out there. there's some crazy 19-year-olds out there. That's all I'm going to say. That's all. I'm not even going to dig into that. I cannot believe that story. That is beyond me. Like, I couldn't even imagine being a dude in the front row. Okay, but Mesa, Arizona, shaking my head. All right, Nacho, your thoughts on what's been going on thus far about Bryce Harper and the mega deal that he's signing with Under Armour?
Oh, that's a huge deal. I didn't hear the exact numbers on it, but regardless of it, you'd have to know how huge it's going to be now. The thing that Tommy hits on is, yeah, a lot of teams are going to be throwing money. I expect a team like the Diamondbacks, if he hits the market, to actually throw, you know, as much money as possible at him, keep him in the NL, out here in the NL West, where a player like that could covet and pretty much help you dominate a very tight-knit race. That's just in this division. He could help anyone out in any division. So, yeah, he's going to covet probably the most when it comes to his when it comes to his free agent signing. But as pertains to this deal, I mean, he deserves every penny. And he's out there, you know, displaying it, you know, day in and day out, game in and game out, why he deserves it. So the thing is, you know, to me, was this the biggest deal? That's my only question. My question is this a loyalty thing? Does he stick with Under Armour because of, you know, whatever, or there's people he likes there? Because we all know, as pockets go, Under Armour does not have the deepest pockets as pertains to sponsorship, advertisement, and things of that nature, and signing big deals with guys. So they've got money. I'm not saying that they're broke by any means of the stretch of the terms, but as it pertains to the Reeboks and the Nikes, the Adidas's of the world, Under Armour is creeping up there. They just don't have the deepest pocket. So to me, I think this is a great signing by them. Get their name out there even more, you know, especially when, you know, in a couple of years, the tagline will be, you know, Bryce Harper, you know, signed second biggest deal after Under Armour, you know, something to that nature in his career. And it'll be linked to his name, and Under Armour will forever be mentioned with Bryce Harper. That's one of the key things that I think we all that they want to take from it. So it's an interesting conversation. I think unless the Nationals do, you know, what I anticipate for them probably doing, I don't know their situation. Tommy knows more. But unless I think, you know, that wouldn't even attempt him getting a year out of free agency, getting a year away from free agency without inking him to a long-term major deal. So, you know, if he does fall out to that free agency market, if he does get teams calling him like he will, you know, I don't know if, you know, there's any amount of money that he wouldn't turn down.
Okay, fair enough. Like, do you think Bryce stays in Washington, or do you think he ends up going somewhere else, though, I'm not sure?
I think he goes somewhere else. Like Tommy said, he can get just as much money to play DH in the American League as he could to play every day in the National League, depending on how much money and where he could go. I honestly don't think he stays in Washington if he hits the free agency market in a couple of years.
Mm.
See, he's going to see who, if you sign him in the American League, you're going to have to play him in the outfield too, because he hates mm-hmm. days off. Dusty Baker found that out. You can ask Kyle when he played his Twins. That day that he had off, you see Bryce move in, it was antsy. And Dusty says, I don't know how many days I could give this man off. He could kill me. He'd give me a heart attack. Because he was bugging him to death. So you're going, I mean, even if it's the DH, he's still going to get antsy. That's the only reason he was put in there to pitch hit. Of course, he did what he does. He hits home runs, and he shows why he's the MVP. But you're going to have to play him some in the outfield. Or even maybe, I mean, he came up through the minors and everything as a catcher. And he's already, and there's reports come out that he says he would do that. He would move back to do that too. So, because he's right now, he's the Nationals emergency catcher. So who knows? I mean, this man, nothing would surprise me what he does.
He ain't lying. He's not lying. Okay, now I've sat on this dish for far too long. Now that I got a decent amount of people in here. Game 2 down there in San Antonio, in which it was a game won by one by the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I want everybody's opinion wherever they like to go in the game, whether it's, you know, talk about the ending or how these teams came out and played. I mean, anything you want to talk about, we'll have it here as a cookout. Nobody. Everybody's chilling today.
What okay, now? Okay, I missed you. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. So I'll ask you first, Tommy, your thoughts on the Game 2 situation, Oklahoma City visiting San Antonio, and how the game ended.
I think it was sad because that's the main story over everything was the missed three that they called a three, you know, Ginobili's, and it was actually a two. And just the foul that Waiters did, I mean, there was like a whole lot. That's the main story, not about the game. So, I mean, I don't know what to say because I didn't really watch this game that much because the Nationals being out in Kansas City, I was more of a back and forth type thing. But I did get to see some of that. So, I mean, it was unbelievable. This right here is why, I mean, really, you can't even say that. I can't even say that. Something's got to be done because there's been a lot of missed calls in these playoffs, I guess I should say.
Okay, Mr. Silver, your thoughts on the end of game two down here in San Antonio, the way things unraveled and how the lead was almost lost.
You know, the way it ended, again, Tommy takes a lot of what I was thinking. You know, the referees, you know, and whatever you want to call it, inability, incapacity, and unintelligence, whatever you want to make it out to be. They said because they've never seen it before, they'll practice it now, whatever it is. There were multiple offenses by both teams that were missed in those final seconds that I have to believe, unless it was, you know, an exerted effort by the referees to not want to call anything, to let things pretty much go, although I don't know how you let stepping out of bounds, fan interference, a blatant double foul, holding two different players, and then another holding of another player, go unnoticed, unchecked, uncalled. It's just so much that they let fly that takes over what was a very exciting, very intense, and a game in which a team had lost only once on this court all year in 45, was it 46 games or however many it was, 47 games. It doesn't even matter. That's too many. And that is, you know, overshadowed the fact that Oklahoma City stole one, something that I didn't anticipate, something I thought that we wouldn't see until game five. I thought this performance, the way that Oklahoma City was able to sustain the lead throughout the game and not really let the Spurs come full back throttle and push this, you know, over to the Spurs side, I think that was something that I didn't anticipate happening until game five. I'll be honest. Sitting here, I thought this was going to go home court up until game five. I thought Oklahoma City could go home and definitely win the two on their own court, come back in San Antonio, have a little swagger, have a little confidence, and take one in San Antonio, which they would need to do to win the series. It's not a full surprise and a shock or a wow or anything of that nature because this is the NBA playoffs. And both these teams are extremely talented. What surprised me is that it happened in game two, that they were able to deal with it, handle everything that was thrown at them, and still come out victorious in a game two situation on a court in which only one other team had been victorious on the entire year. So it's a great game. It's now a series like everyone's anticipated. And to me, this comes down to if Oklahoma City can carry this confidence and swagger into Oklahoma City and pull out, you know, both games, one of two, most definitely both games would be the dream situation. But as it is right now, you've done everything you've needed to do if you're Oklahoma City going back home for game three.
Am I wrong to say the fan that interferes should no longer be allowed to have them seats the rest of the playoffs?
Yeah, no. I think to me, if you're, again, this is any stadium, any professional setting of this nature, where they're this close, a fan interfering on this level, on this grand stage, with so much riding on this, even if I was the person next to them or a family member, I would not be mad if my family member or if that person was barred from the stadium or the arena for the rest of the game or for the rest of the series or playoffs. That's ridiculous. Not only that, you've got a guy who could have cost either team the game at the end there. You know, at the end there, they could have held it, not seen which happened. It could have cost Oklahoma City the game, if something would have fallen Stephen Adams' way and he was not able to attack it or get it because he's being held, or vice versa, they do catch it and they charge the San Antonio Spurs with something. And now, you know, you're looking at a situation where he's cost the San Antonio Spurs a possession, or he's given Oklahoma City two shots as a fan. That guy's got to go, regardless of where he's from, what he's doing, what shirt he's got on. You got to go for the rest of the playoffs. You got to know, regardless of what the situation is, you can't touch a professional player while there's a game going on.
Did they at least arrest him? Because I know if you go on a base run out on the baseball field or even football field, it all happens. We've all seen it happen. Now, of course, now the TV's got to where they don't show it. You're arrested and then you're held for 24 hours or until your court date. Did they arrest him at least? Or her, whoever, whatever it was?
Again, the other side of the coin of that, and I don't know if they've arrested him or her, I think it's a her. The other side of the coin is, it seems to me, well, not to me, it seems to some people that she was knocked over, that she was only using Stephen Adams' arms to grab her balance and get back up. The problem with that is, once you've regained your balance and you're now officially, sitting upright, you let go. She did not, or he or she did not. I can't tell whether it's a guy with long hair or a girl. I'm not going to make that speculation, especially this day and age. But the person did not let go after they were already sitting up and upright. There was an obvious being held situation. Stephen Adams, looking back and ranking his arm, he was being held. But, yeah, I don't know if they get arrested in NBA. I don't know how that works. We all have seen these players or fans throw beer and throw stuff on players as they're walking out to halftime. I know those guys get, escorted out of the building and are no longer allowed in. But touching a player in the middle of a play one of the most crucial parts of a game, I don't care if you're rooting for my team or not, you got to go for the rest of the playoffs.
Ty, I'm mute.
Ty,
can you hear me? I'm sorry. I was on mute again. I'm sorry, fellas. My bad. I'm up here strolling away on this mute stuff, man. Okay. So there we have it. You know, either way, the refs, as in a total, that's what I was saying before, as in a total, they missed five calls together. Now, all to start off, how does Deion get away with an elbow, right? If you look back at the play, Manu steps on the line across the out-of-bounds line. That's an infraction. So that was supposed to be shots. That actually put him in range to be elbowed, if you will, right? Right? Then you have, before the ball gets in play, Patty Mills is bear-hugging. That's right. No, not like fouling him. He is bear-hugging Stephen Adams around the waist so he cannot go set the screen. Russell Westbrook runs down court, and it cuts back, so he has a step on Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard grabbed the entire zero on Russell's back. All you see is Westbrook. You don't see a number. All you see is Westbrook in blue. And then Deion Waiters finally passes the ball, and he now jumps in the air to make the pass. Kevin Durant gets the ball. He gets fouled by Danny Green. And then the onslaught continues as they go under the rim, or what have you, or things of that nature with, I think at the time, Patty Mills had got the ball, he kicked it out, Manu got to the rim and threw it back to Tony, and then the bad shot happened and the scramble happened and they couldn't get a shot up. But there were, the NBA and the referees are admitting that they missed five foul calls at the end of that game. So, granted, it was great for people like myself, but I can't lie. I just wanted to try and get a win out of it. I wanted it the honest way. I really feel like, karma is really waiting for me outside today and be like, yeah, you think everything is sweet? Well, game three, it's on, me and you. So I know I'm going to have to fight karma because I'm feeling some type of way about that win. I just feel like if the Thunder are feeling fortunate or if they feel like they could bounce, you know, even stronger within a game three approach. But definitely a well-fought game. I've never had beef with this guy at all, but LaMarcus Aldridge, you are a complete monster. I don't know what they need to do. I think they need to tap that pinky because there was nothing they could do defensively to slow you down. If it wasn't for LaMarcus, they probably wouldn't have been in a situation to be in a winning position in this matter. But, you know, a roller coaster game for me, a roller coaster game for everybody that likes basketball alike. Looking forward to game three. I want to see how you guys feel about that. Like I said, I really feel like karma will be outside waiting on me. But do you think the Thunder could actually build off of this, or do you think the Spurs will be fuming mad and come out with a big win up against OKC in Oklahoma? I'll go to you first, Nacho.
Again, you got to look at the score itself. This is a team in the San Antonio Spurs who went out there and put, what was it, 100 above 20 last game in game one. Now coming out and not cracking 90, you know, that's a credit to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, again, you don't get LaMarcus Aldridge to score the points he did, or was it 41 or 42. Again, you could be getting beaten down by 20 points right now, losing, and Oklahoma City Thunder wouldn't have broken 90 points as well. You know, so they are very fortunate in San Antonio that LaMarcus Aldridge was able to go off the way he did yesterday. You hit it directly on the head when you said to be in the position they were in. Without him doing the tremendous things he did offensively to get those points for them yesterday, you know, like I said, you know, he gets a regular 23 points, a regular 24 points. They lose this game by 15, 16, 17, walking away, and Oklahoma City doesn't have to score over 100. I think this is something. I think this is something Oklahoma City can build on, the fact that they didn't have to score 130, 135 to beat this team. They were able to do it at a low-scoring game, knowing that they can, if they need to, pull out a high-scoring game. I think that, to me, this is going to be a game three in Oklahoma City, where Oklahoma City tries everything that they can to get a victory. You know, the problem with the next game is on Thursday, right?
So the next game is actually Friday. The next
okay,
time
cool.
The Thunder
so we'll,
meet is Friday.
Perfect. I'll save who I pick on until Thursday. But this game right here is going to be an intense game. I expect both teams to be coming out, you know, on all cylinders. But for LaMarcus to be able to do that three games in a row, get up 35, 40 points a game, I don't see that. So they need to get some more production out of San Antonio, out of other players. And, again, this is Oklahoma City at home, who I wouldn't give a second glance if they scored 130 in this game.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on what I said, approaching game three, how do you feel this thing could turn around? Do you think the Spurs come out and play some inspired basketball and play like they did in game one, or do the Thunder actually – take advantage of their home court situation and try to get up their own way in a 2-1 situation up against this Spurs team in their game coming up Friday?
I don't see San Antonio playing like they did game one the rest of this series. I really don't. I really think OKC can win both games at home. I really do. They did what they had to do. I really think OKC can win both games at home.
Now, here's the kicker to what you just said, Tommy, and all of the melee that I'm throwing together with this cookout dish that I'm putting out there. The two-guard position. Andre Roberson actually played defense. He played great defense yesterday, and that's what they have him for, is to come in there and play D. But in which, well, everybody and their mother is talking about outside of this game is Deion Waiters. Where do they go from here with Deion Waiters? Do they get involved with him? You know, Manu Ginobili is the king of flopping. Do they actually get him you know, involved into a little scuffle where a man who may flop or things of that nature, do they get inside of the heads of these guys? Because let's be honest, the Spurs are beyond seasoned. Like, you can cook these guys right now, put them on the grill, because they are done being seasoned. However, there's a lot of youth, a lot of young players on the Thunder team that, you know, if the timing is right, they could get underneath the skin of some of these players and get them off of their game, if you will. How do you feel about that situation that there's a ton of vets or veterans, let me say it the correct way, on this Spurs team that could actually do damage? Thunder basically a fly-by-night team with their veterans being some young stars throughout the NBA themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's the only thing, that is one thing that scares me, is how you got Mano and a couple other players that will take flops, and that could help them. OKC has to play very smart, and don't put themselves in that situation. Don't get yourself to where it looks like that, and he can do that flop in, or not just Manu, any of them.
Okay, do you agree or disagree on that one, Nacho, before we get away from it?
Again, the Spurs and their age is something that we all talk about all year long. The fact that Popovich is able to take these certain players and utilize them at certain times in the year, sit them when he needs to, play them when he needs to. This is playoffs, and this is all hands on deck. You make a very valid point talking about the veteran players that the Spurs have. The thing is, when you have an Oklahoma City team with two of the top five players in the NBA, that makes up for any deficiencies you have on a bench. When you can, if you need to, leave in your one and two for the majority of the game and rely on them to put the team on their back together, you can if you need to. I think that does take away a little bit, so that evens up the match. For me, this is a game in game three where we don't expect, well, me personally, I don't expect Oklahoma City, you know, whether it be, you know, at home or away, to shoot 48% from the field. You know, as good as that may seem, to me, this is a team that at home, I think they can get a very, very high percentage at home, get the looks they want, and do everything necessary to take the stranglehold of this series, go up 2-1. And again, when you don't shoot the three, or when you shoot the three as poorly as Oklahoma City did in game two, and you come out with a victory, that is the greatest thing you could possibly do when you're a team that, quote-unquote, lives by the three or lives by the long ball or lives by, you know, the jump shot or whatever. When you can shoot, what is it, 26% from three-point land, only making 5 of 19, and still come out with a victory, however, you know, missed calls or not, it was. That's definitely something to walk away. And then going home, where you know you're still going to be able to, you know, like I said, use that home court and definitely be able to take advantage. So I think the age thing, as stressed out as it could be on other teams against a team as Oklahoma City is structured, and then the way they have the two of the top five players, in my opinion, if you want to throw 6 or maybe 7, that's fine. In the NBA right now, that makes up for any lack of youth or experience, I mean, on your bench. Muted again, Ty?
I did do it again. I'm up here running my mouth, talking at the same time. here go the crazy part. I got to sit at the edge of my seat until Friday comes around, because I know more than likely I'm going to get it in the crossover and definitely in the early portion of the roundtable, you know, as we set things off this Friday. But, yeah, I don't know which way to go. I really feel like Coach – how angry Coach Pop was on that sideline, that's what has me scared as ever of the Spurs team, because I know that he probably have a game plan to probably attack a certain player to get their lead or basically you know, clip the Thunder by the wings as best they can and coming after Russ or KD. But knowing how this guy doesn't really lose back-to-back playoff games, that's another thing, too. That is another thing. The Spurs don't really lose back-to-back games. So the Thunder have their work cut out for them. If they can do that, then they put themselves back in the driver's seat. But this game right here, how I have it written out, is the pivotal, or not even pivotal. I'm saying it wrong. This is the more critical game of this series, and the Thunder cannot afford to lose Game 3 if they want to win this series. They have to win Game 3 to basically put the pressure on the Spurs to not go down 3-1. And that's what I basically was like, you know what, this win with everything that happened at the end of the game, even though there were a lot of missed calls in that game, there was one shot that Kevin Durant took when they went up by 5. He got fouled from the front and the back by David West and Danny Green. They did not call it. He just hit the jumper and just got up and ran down court. You know, things of that nature. I think that this officiating crew will probably get, some paid docs or something. Something's going to happen to the three of these guys with so many calls being missed throughout the game. But as of looking forward to Game 3, personally, I'm biting my nails. But analytically, that this is a must-see game. I think this might be one of the stronger, if not the strongest, series throughout the entire playoffs. I'm sorry. Thunder, Spurs. Okay. Let me get away from it because I've been beating up my boys for far too long, and they won. I'm supposed to be happy, damn it. I'm supposed to be celebrating. Shoot, I'm up here trying to help everybody out. You know, the calling number is 907-889-9592. Now, I want to see how you guys feel about the situation happening out east. And I think the Atlanta Hawks are a victim of letting the Cavaliers getting far too much rest, in which the Cavaliers did take care of business up against this Atlanta Hawks team and winning Game 1. The Cavaliers have not lost yet this postseason. I want to see how you guys feel about the Cavs. Can the Hawks get back into this series, whether it be Game 2 or whether they get back to Atlanta and make this happen, or will they actually lose 12 straight games in their three series of play against this Cleveland Cavalier team? Tommy, I'll come to you first. Do you think the Hawks can get their mojo back, or do you think this is over?
They don't. Atlanta does not win one in Cleveland. I think they can get at least one in Atlanta. Game 3 or 4, I do not see this being a sweep. But who knows? I mean, you're on a roll, Ty, so maybe you're the one yesterday, last night, said you thought it was going to be a sweep. Maybe you're right. Maybe I should go ahead and agree, go with you and say sweep because you're on a roll. But I really see that.
I don't want to push my numbers out there. Look, I'm 4-0 right now. Because the whole panel yesterday.
You're saying we don't give you enough credit, so I'm giving you the credit.
I'm thanking you. No, I'm being thankful. I said I don't want to push the numbers out there. Wait, Nacho, did you hear me say that or not? Did I say I didn't want to push those numbers out there? Yes, I did not want to do that. I'm chilling. Look, I'm scared of her. I am scared of karma. Listen, I'm a punk when it comes to karma, okay? I don't like her. I'm scared of her. That is Debo. If you see Friday, Karma is Debo, and I'm red. I'm just gonna tuck my chain in, okay? Because as soon as I start talking junk, yo, what you got on my 40, homie? Like, I don't want no problems. I don't want no problems. I just want to enjoy my Friday. You see what I'm saying? But I'm 4-0. I'm just chill. I'm gonna just chill to that. Even if I include the Cavaliers, the Lakers situation, I said LeBron and company, I'm 5-0. I'm stopping. I didn't do this for a city, I swear I didn't. I'm going to look at it like this. They need guard play right now. There's no way that they can watch through the first half of that game and watch Korver not get a shot up. Now, let alone he didn't score. Korver didn't get a shot up. He made the All-Star team last year, and I think it was because of how hot Atlanta was and how he sparked that team. Him not shooting the ball, that team is flat. That Hawks team has to see Korver get a shot up. Then I think, extend the floor a little bit for Al Horford to work his game, whether he's on the box or if he wants to take a jump shot. Millsap is a wild card. He could do whatever he wants out there on the floor, but he didn't really have a strong presence out there. Jeff Teague, I think he's somewhere bothered right now. I think Kyrie is in this guy's head. I think this full team unit is going to have to get it together. If they do not come out and look impressive in game two, or not even just say impressive, if they look like they have fight within them, then I agree with it. But if they don't look like they have fight, if LeBron and them win by more than, I want to say more than 13, more than 14 points, 12 in a row. 12 in a row. I really think that this could be a clean sweep because they're having difficulty in the position that they need to lock up guys like LeBron or slow down Kyrie. Hell, they actually have a shot right now because Kevin Love is hurt again in another season. It's like back-to-back season with the Cavaliers. You got hurt again. But I'm thinking that these are just, you know, hurt. You know him being hurt. He's not injured. Well, I'm knocking on wood saying that. I'm hoping that he's not hurt, injured. I'm hoping that he's more or less hurt. But Kevin Love, once again, he was nursing his elbow. He fell awkwardly. It looked like it was a leg injury also, too. So that's something that I'm watching closely, too. Hopefully Atlanta can take advantage if Love isn't out there. But if so, if they lose by like seven, within that realm of seven or less, then I feel like they have a shot going back home to Phillips Arena down there in Atlanta. But if they get beat by double digits, more than 13, 14 points, good night. It's over with. It's all she wrote. Anything else that needs to be said, whether it's you, Nacho, or Tommy, towards it? Nacho, did you speak on this series by any means anyway?
No, he pretty much covered it. I'm home with Cleveland as well. This is a team that has showed in the past eight games before yesterday how much they've dominated Atlanta. You know, and again, I said there was going to be a way. There had to be a way that head coach and that team got Kyle Korver open and got him his shots, no matter how much somebody was sticking in, no matter how much they had put someone on him. That is a job of the head coach to get those guys in a position. You know, you got to get your guy going. Again, like you said, you get him going, the rest of the team starts flowing. This game might have been a different situation. As it turned out, they couldn't get anything through Kyle Korver, and it just ruined their whole game. I think this is pretty much the same thing that happens through game two as well. Again, I'm with Ty. If they stay out there and get waxed 15, 15, 16 points, anything obviously above 20, I don't see Atlanta being able to bounce back at home at all. But if, again, if game two is close, and I mean Kyle Korver goes off, Al Horford has a game, and things of that nature, then, of course, they can carry that momentum. But right now it's so flat in Atlanta, I think that they might be looking at, will it be 0-12 in their last 12 playoff games against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay. Tom, anything before we get away from it?
Nope.
Okay, fair enough. It's the cookout. Before I start getting into some of the games of today, I want to hear what you guys want to throw out there on the grill, see what you guys have on slate, or, things that you guys have seen that I may have missed. I'll come to you first, Tommy. Anything that you'd like to throw on the grill before we get moving?
Not really. I mean, we already talked. I wanted to bring up the Harper thing, but we've already hit on it with Under Armour.
Okay, Nacho, anything that you may have, whether it be the NFL draft, things of that nature, I know that there was more that was up your sleeve on that situation that you would like to address as well.
Nothing really as it pertains to the draft, just a situation we touched on the other day in New York, and not Big Blue and the Giants, but Gang Green and the New York Jets. Now with the GM, Mike, I can't say his last name correctly, probably without, destroying it. He's come out and said he is not, he wouldn't mind going into the regular season with four quarterbacks on the roster. That is if they can re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. They would go in with Bryce Petty, Geno Smith, Christian Hackenberg, and Ryan Fitzpatrick going into the beginning of the year. Again, what is this team thinking? And if the GM thinks that he can go into the beginning of this season with four quarterbacks, and that You know, that's going to be, you know, okay, fine and dandy, and they're not going to have a problem at that position. What in God's green earth are they thinking over there? And Todd Bowles, does he really not care about his offense at all, that he's letting the GM and whatever offensive coordinator he's got going over there run four quarterbacks through that? When you've got Geno Smith, you've got Bryce Petty, and now you're drafting Christian Hackenberg, you end talks with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you go let him find another team that's willing to pay him the money that he wants. The fact that they're still trying to get Ryan back in the door and pay him some money and carry four quarterbacks is just asinine. Do you guys feel that this team will be anything better than it was last year, even though they did have Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they try to carry four quarterbacks in the next year?
Tommy, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on the Jets and how many quarterbacks they're bringing or have on this roster right now. Do you think that they could be successful in a very competitive AFC East division?
Not really. They're confused. This team has no clue what they want. I mean, there's reports that Fitzpatrick came out and said he'd rather retire than play for the Jets or what they're offering. So obviously he has no interest at all being in New York. At all.
Okay. I really don't know how to look at this situation because, you know, part of me thinks that the Jets can't actually do well. I mean, they did lose, you know, a big piece of their running back committee, even though I'm feeling some type of way about Bilal, but I just do that just because of the last name. You know, I do that just because of the last name. But I feel like Brandon Marshall and Decker, that's a tandem. They do have some receivers there with Thomas as well coming out of Ohio State. So I feel like they have some pieces that can get it done. Their defense, you still have to be concerned with what they have on the outside with Revis and these guys, but can they get this done? I mean, all together, everybody has to be clicking on all cylinders to get this thing done. I'm skeptical about the situation for Gang Green, man, but I don't want to put it past them. You know, I've been proved wrong before, but already, as of today, after the draft and everything that's gone on, as of today, right? Las Vegas, yeah, you know, I talk about a city I love. Talk about it. They already favored the New England Patriots to win the Super Bowl again already. With Brady missing four games. Right. With Brady missing four games off the ripper. Off the rip. Brady's supposed to miss four games. And they are still favored to get this.
I'm going to throw something out there real quick. It's something that dawned on. We didn't talk to. It's about the draft. What do you all think about the Broncos with drafting the Memphis quarterback, Lynch?
I think that was a great pickup, to be honest. I'm honestly, you know, hopefully he starts to be 100%. That's the guy that, you know, you throw in. I mean, I take him over Sanchez, if that's your question. I throw him in right away, and you make that happen. You know, unless you fear for injury or unless in OTAs you fail, Sanchez can get beat around and that defense can still win you games while Lynch wins. I don't know about that, but I feel that's a good pickup for them. What you said about New England and them bringing up the fact that they're already favorites, the word you said, and I was glad you said it, is supposed to serve a four-game suspension. He's already been granted times. He's already been granted an extension to appeal his to appeal the suspension again. So I think they know something we all don't know, which is that he won't serve this four-game suspension again. It was just something you know, to keep our minds off the fact that whatever it is or whatever, you know, whatever the NFL is trying to hide this time, I'm sure it'll come out in deadspin here 6-7 months down the road. But I'm sure there's something that the NFL is hiding. That's why they resuspended him for 4 months to make this a bigger, you know, controversy and bring up old memes. But to me, they know for whatever reason that Tom Brady's not going to serve that four games. That's where they're putting him at the favorite.
So, Tommy, how do you feel about this situation? I mean, granted, unless he doesn't get this taken care of, he's looking like he's going to be playing 12 games or less or more. How are we paying this thing out? How do you feel about it?
If he does not get this suspension, I literally may say it, the hell with the NFL. Because then that just means these players or certain players can do what they want, when they want. And I literally may say the hell with it and stick to my college football. Seriously. You're not telling me this SOB did not know anything about those footballs. I'm sorry.
I mean, you can really walk away from the Ravens like that. You can be done with them?
Yeah.
Wow. This is getting hectic now, Sports City. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just know that I've seen the NFL lose almost every occurrence that they've had going up against the players, in which, you know, you look at it like Tom Brady being the face of the NFL now, you know, now that Peyton is gone, you know, and however many years Brady may have left. To me, I think Brady has a solid 3 years of great football left. So, like, while Gronk and Edelman's younger than Gronk. Like, that's crazy in itself. And they're putting more weapons around Brady. Jesus. It looked like I said, unless a fast, strong defense could get to Brady, like, I feel like he has 3 years left of some solid football left, at least. I mean, like, you're scared of him football. Like not even like he could go out there and play 8-8 football. Like, no, I mean, like, 10-6 or better. You know what I'm saying? 11-5, 4, if you want to pan it out like that. I still feel like Brady has that type of base football left in him. In which, I don't know, if Garoppolo is this guy that everybody's been panning out from our last preseason, where he actually had a good couple of plays while he was playing ball, who knows? But the Patriots are going to have to survive unless something else comes out of this situation. But if they're already favoring them out of the gate, enough respect to Bill Belichick, because they know that you got tons of tricks up your sleeve. And, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't want to buy that just yet, man, because a lot of teams went out in this draft and didn't work. You know what I'm saying? Like, hell, the Ravens had eight or nine picks, if I'm not mistaken. San Francisco had 8 or 9 picks. Like, well, not to say San Fran will jump back out there, because I still feel like the Niners still need work. But there are some teams that have actually legitimately put some big pieces in play for their team. And, you know, it's May. It's May right now, but they've already kind of cornered the marketing into intriguing people to saying, you know what, they should actually, bring this back to Massachusetts once again. So I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Anything else before we get away from it? Fair enough. So I will get into the games of tonight, in which we have, what, the Golden State Warriors are playing Portland as the late night capper, right? We'll get into that. But game one in the North, that's right, in the North, we have the Heat going up against the Raptors. Now, here goes the crazy one. Tommy was screaming, let's go Heat. And well, you know, there's some pieces of the puzzle out there in the North that I feel some type of way about. You know what I'm saying? Who could get the job done? I want to see how you guys feel about both of these teams in this game one matchup. I don't even want to call series yet. If y'all want to call series, you can. I'm not pushing. I don't want you to. You don't have to. But I want to see how you guys feel about this matchup out of the gate with the Heat going up against the Raptors. You know what, Nacho? I'll let you set it off first.
Yeah, there's nothing in me that before, you know, the buzzer starts it before game one, and I'll ever call a series. Just kidding. I do that all the time. But before this one, I don't think I could do that. I think this is both teams that are pretty evenly matched. They're pretty, this is going to be an all-out drag-out war, I think, for a few games. But tonight I'm going to go with the home team. I think Toronto's riding high after their first ever Game 7 victory, going to the round two in such a long time. I think they're riding high. Again, Hughes is winning. Let's do it for Drake and the city. I think they're riding high with that home court and what they got going. So I'm just going to ride with the home team. There's nothing really spectacular, I feel, that'll wow me or shock me tonight. I'll win it potentially this game, win, lose, or draw. But sorry about that. But I'm going to pick the Toronto Raptors tonight against the Miami Heat.
Andy said, do it for Drake. Tell me what's really going on. Tommy, what's going on? Miami and Canada up against these Raptors. Who gets game one and why?
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it easy as possible. Heat wins, and the Heat are going back to back, back to back. Game's over. Heat wins.
They're winning. So what do you mean by back to back? Are they win? They're winning these two games in Toronto.
They're
winning games.
They are going in and they will sweep the Toronto.
Whoa! What? Sports City. I didn't push that. Listen. If it don't go down now, y'all know the rules. That's
hey,
all I'm gonna say.
I'll be here more than like some people. We won't miss you.
Hey, I didn't say nothing else. I stopped right there. Look, I stopped right there. They know the slogan. This is so tough for me, man, because I ain't going to lie. I'm a Wade fan. I like Wade, man. And I feel real bad for Chris Bosh, man. I want to see things done for Chris Bosh. Everybody know I'm probably the biggest Joe Johnson fan that ever was, and I don't even think Joe Johnson got a fan anymore. I got family on the other side, man. I would call blood thicker than water, man. Toronto, man. I'm going with Toronto, man. I don't see a sweep. I'm going to say it like this, Tommy. I don't see a sweep, but I think Miami may get the series. I'll put myself on the line and say Miami may get the series, but off the rip right now, game one, after they just came off with that emotional high up against the Pacers, yeah, I'm going with the six. We the six. They the North, for real. I'm going with Toronto, man. And then, by the way, I'm trying to order my Toronto Raptors jersey already. Y'all know what number I'm getting. Y'all know what name I'm getting. And I don't even get All-Stars. I don't get All-Stars. I get All-Stars from my team, but I won't get an All-Star. If I won't. I get somebody that means a lot to me. Go to Toronto. Okay. Nightcapper. Like, I need y'all to give me some analysis on this game, people. I can't. Because we got time here. Unless I close us up early. Like, we got time. But, dude, anybody feel like the red and black can go in there and deal with the blue and yellow, blue and yellow, blue and yellow? Or is it just too crazy out there in the Bay? Like, you know, I'm like, tired of this right now because, like, How do I say this? Like, since 2000, yeah, since the year 2000 till like now, like almost, what, five, six? There's been like six championships in the NBA out there in California. Five with the Lakers, one with Golden State. They are doing too much partying in California, okay? There's too much going on in California right now. I'm tired of it right now, even though that's one of my hangout spots. I can visit. I can't live there. But, man, especially in the Bay, like, hell, okay, Golden State won a championship. San Francisco Giants won three championships. Like, they are partying. Like, California is getting too much right now. What did Arnold do to the sport world? Jesus, do anybody feel Portland could do something? Or give me a breakdown on how this could go down? Somebody, anybody?
I'll keep it to what I had game one. I'm going to keep rolling with black and red, how you do it. I have to give faith in Damian Lillard. You have to show up tonight. This is a Curry-less team, and you have to believe in what you have if you're Damian Lillard and that you can take on any defender they can put up against you, no matter who it is. I don't anticipate Draymond going for triple-double. I don't anticipate Klay Thompson going off again for 30-plus. You know, of course, those things are you know, apparently things that happen on an everyday basis for these two when it pertains to when Curry's not on the court. But I'm going to go with Black and Red and Dame Lillard dropping dimes. I'm going to go on an extra limb here. I think Damian Lillard goes out and has a triple-double tonight. He's rebounding, he's assisting, he gets the points he needs to, and he puts his team on his back. And again, you've got to do it in front of your home, again, every single person, I'm sure, you know, in their heart, they love Damian Lillard, but they're wearing blue, they're wearing yellow, and they're cheering on Golden State. I'm sure that's got to get to him tonight. You know, so I'm going Black and Red. I'm going Damian Lillard. I'm going out on the edge again. I'm going to step out on this little tiny twig where no big man like me should ever be, but I'm going out there again.
Whoa. Okay. We got one for Portland tonight. What? Cool. It was, let me just spice that last dish up that I had of here. My cousin is starting today. I love it. He's starting NBA playoff basketball. This is beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Thank you, Dwayne Casey. I love it. Okay. So Nacho is going Portland. Mr. Beard, are you going Portland or are you going Golden State and why?
I'm going home team. I don't have faith in Portland winning until they go up north and they play in the Rose Garden. I guess that's what's still called up there. I guess that's what they're still calling it up there in Portland. I mean, I just don't see Golden State losing at home. I just don't. Now, one thing I will agree with Nacho is Green will not get a triple-double. He may come close to one, and if Bogans can go off or even control the paint, there's no I'm waiting on Plumlee to show up for the playoffs still. I mean, he hasn't done much yet. I mean, he had that one good game in the last series, but that was about it.
And this is a series where he could actually do well. I really feel like he could do work in this series right here because him and Bogut are actually a fair matchup. He just had to deal with DeAndre and Blake. Like I feel like this should be different for him, but who knows? Who knows? But I think this is going to be very tough. You know what? Damn, I really want to say Portland, man. I really do, man, but I can't, man. They got to come out and play high flying basketball out the gate. Something has to happen differently. I'm not going to do it. I'm going with Golden State. I'm not even going to force it. But if they do get this win, if they could pull this off game two, we have a hell of a series going on because I think Dame goes back to Portland could get hot and potentially see Steph Curry in that game two because they're saying Steph may be back for game three or game four. So if they can steal a game in the Oracle, that'll be big, especially in this playoffs while the Golden State is actually coasting. So I will say Golden State, I won't throw myself out there on the grill. But in which, if they do get it done, I think we have a hell of a series in front of us again in the Western Conference. Because already, the Thunder have made it that much more interesting in the other series, surviving. And this situation, well, I mean, Portland has to prove that they belong. The Trailblazers have to really, prove to people that they belong to be in the playoffs right now, or if not, get walked on. That's the only way I see it.
This is the opportunity to do it. This is the opportunity to do it. With Curry on the bench and them and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and those guys having to step up knowing that Curry may not be back, you know, whatever. But this is the opportunity Portland needs. You're away. You get a victory. You go home. I mean, this is the perfect setup for them. This is what you need to meet. To me, if they lose this game, I've lost all hope in Portland for any series.
I'll say this. If Portland wins tonight, guarantee your asses Kurt's playing the game for it.
Oh, you know it.
He will be thrust and he will be playing.
Oh, Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
Of course. I agree 100%. I agree 100%. If they lose, Steph is coming around the mountain. Believe me, he is. Believe me.
Does he start or does he come off the bench? Because of the injury.
He come off the bench. You know who he is?
He's injured. Do you suffer the Western Conference Finals and possibly the Finals for one series that you've already shown that you can dominate if you just lose one game at home? That's my question.
Listen, they know how to keep him protected. Hey, they know how to keep him protected. They know how to keep him protected, man, where he don't have to work hard. That's the difference. They'll make it look like you know what? Well, Steph, D, the person that ain't going to be a big influence on the offensive side of the ball. So, and I don't know, that's actually good because 1 through 3 actually scored the ball for Portland. So he'd have to work. He'd have to work, whether it's Damian Lillard or the C.J. McCollum or Aminu, they're going to make him work, or Harkless. However they want to put that down, Steph is going to have to come out there and play ball. So, again, I feel like Golden State is too much on their own floor. But, you know, going into Game 3, Steph Curry, he's going to have to be 100%. He can't go out there 80% and thinking that he's going to fly by night. I don't think so. Okay. Tommy, I had a quick question for you to throw out there on the grill. Your thoughts on your boys in the midst of this NHL playoff, where the Penguins actually stole one by a goal yesterday up against your Caps. Tommy, are you still there? Do we have Tommy?
Sorry, I'm talking on mute. I'm sorry.
It's a common thing. You blame Nacho. Blame Nacho. Nacho started that crap. That is all Ignacio's fault, okay? If it wasn't for Nacho, we wouldn't be doing this crap.
Like I was saying, I'm nervous as hell. I'm afraid the D.C. curse is coming back around for playoffs. If we do not win Game 4, this series could be over. We have to win. I believe it's tomorrow they play again. We have to win in Pittsburgh and go back to the Verizon Center in D.C. and get another victory. Have to. And put the pressure back on Pittsburgh to win up in Pittsburgh. I'm nervous.
Yes, and this is,
I'm not lying. I am nervous.
This is Game 4 in Pittsburgh, and they lead 2-1 right now. Believe me, I know my Rangers just got slapped around by these dudes too. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I know it is, you know, Nacho. I know you're not a big hockey guy. But this is a big series of Washington Pittsburgh. If you had to pick a team, who do you like? Ovechkin and the Caps, or Sid the Kid, Sidney Crosby, and the Penguins?
I'd have to go Sid Crosby. And the Penguins. That's just, you know, the lack of knowledge I have and you know, going with you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins there. I just, you know, some about the Crosby, some about watching him play. I like it when the very few times I did watch him. So I'm gonna go Pittsburgh in that series. But it's a good series, like you said. I don't watch very much hockey at all, but I do like what they did to overtime this year. And playoff hockey, if you don't watch hockey, that is something that, you know, you might change your mind, and you might watch hockey at least for the playoff portion every year. But, yeah, it's fun to watch.
See, what I was nervous even going – before we even played Philadelphia in the playoffs, I was already nervous. Because we were playing so well in the regular season and clinched so early and then wrapped up, I believe it's called the President's Cup. Mm-hmm. And you could tell how Ovechkin, Orbit, a couple of these other big-time players, they've stepped back. They wasn't playing with that intensity. And see, Pittsburgh had to fight their way into the playoffs. And they're taking that momentum. They took that momentum right into the postseason. Like, you know, high, because look what they did to your Rangers. And they're still riding that high.
I know.
And it's hard. It was hard. You could see when Washington, they had to get that back. They got it back somewhat against Philadelphia. But then they slept. I was worried going into the postseason. Everybody I seen was, oh, well, Caps this year, Stanley Cup. And I said, hold back. We clinched way too early. And I've seen that with baseball. I've seen it with football. I've seen it where teams have clinched so early. And they think they can just sit back and they're fine. And they can just snap their fingers and turn it back on. And it does not work at all. I have seen it so many times.
Okay. Well, it's a rough one, man. Y'all gotta go into Pittsburgh and get this done, man. That's a raucous environment, man, and not for nothing. This will put them right into the Eastern Conference Finals, man.
It's a rivalry.
I do want to ask you this, Tommy, before I do get away from it, right? If I really don't want to put this weight on them, but I have to. If the Capitals do fall short, your thoughts on Ovechkin, period, and in general, all together. And I know he's great. I know he's great, but how do we view him? Is he the 2003 to 2007 LeBron? You know, like a bunch of talent that can't really get far? Or do we look at the team in general and just kind of like say, well, the Caps can't get it together as a unit? You know, like Ovechkin can't lead this bunch of guys to the promised land. How do we look at, you know, Alex Ovechkin?
Just the team overall. I mean, I don't think you can throw him in the same category as LeBron. I mean, like I said, I really think it's that D.C. curse of the postseason. The Nationals had it a couple years ago when they had St. Louis, 3-1? All they had to do was win one game and they blew it. The Caps did it last year. They were up 3-1 on your Rangers. Going back to D.C., they blew it.
I mean,
it's that D.C. curse.
I mean, outside looking in, I think LeBron is the excellent, is the excellent comparison. The only thing that would make it even more sweeter is if Ovechkin went to L.A. for a few years, won a couple titles, and then came back. I think that would be the only thing that would justify the full LeBron curse. But
he wrong for that.
But other than that, I mean, curse is a curse.
And I'll say this too: what's hurting the Caps now is they suspend the NHL suspended, I believe, Orbit for the 3 games for the one hit that he had against Pittsburgh. So we're minus a star player. When they didn't do that against Philadelphia, they suspended Philadelphia's player the next 3 games of the regular season. He still came back and played. I don't understand why they did that either.
Okay, I need something from one of you guys, man. I don't want to shut it down too early, man. I mean, Nacho, is there another dish that you like to throw out there? Or better yet, you know, like a couple of series? Can you, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk real quickly on the fact that six of the top 10 picks in the 2013 draft got their fifth-year option declined, which to me proved that they're bust. You know, and three of those being out of the top six being Luke Jokel, Deion Jordan, and Barkevious Mingo. Some of the notables, though, Lane Johnson, Ezekiel Ansah, Tavon Austin, and I believe that's it. They're all getting their options picked up, you know, as pertained to their fifth year. But we could talk about the fact that teams get it wrong year in and year out. Which of the top 10 this year do you think will pan out and which will be bust? I know it's early, but, you know, this is the life of an NFL football player.
Well, the Lions actually picked up Ansah's option. So I know that much about Ansah.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, Ezekiel Ansah, Lane Johnson, and give me one second here. Tavon Austin from the Los Angeles Rams. And Mr. I want to get everyone's name correct here. Oh, yeah, and Eric Fisher from the Chiefs. They all picked up or they re-signed. In the case of Lane Johnson with the Philadelphia Eagles, they actually re-signed him to an extension instead of picking up the fifth year. Everyone else in that draft class, being the number two pick in Luke Jokel, the number three pick in Deion Jordan, the number six pick in Barkevious Mingo, the number seventh pick in Jonathan Cooper, the number ninth pick in D. Milner, and the number 10th pick in Chance Warmack all got their fifth year's decline. The rest of those guys, the other four players I mentioned, all got their options either picked up or they got re-signed to long-term deals. Again, it's one of those things that the top 10 is a hit or miss every year in and year out. This year being 2013, being the fifth year this year comes out, people who picked up, it seems to be more missed than hit.
Tommy, your thoughts on the situation with some of these players, including a guy like D. Milner, who I haven't really seen too much of in his career in the NFL. He hasn't really made a name for himself like people thought he would out of college.
Oh, man. Some of them, yeah, you could say you're bust. But then some of them, could come out and say teams just didn't use them right. I mean, I understand. I know the Rams picked up Tavon's, but there's so much other ways they could actually use him. So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, some of these owners and GMs, sometimes I wonder if they know what they're doing anyways.
I mean, with Tavon Austin, they tried to use him as much, but then they found out how big of a weapon he is to their offense. So they try to limit all that they can do with him. But, you know, some of the guys that Nacho did mention, I mean, have they really impressed you this far? You know what I'm saying? Like the hype and the draw that, you know, guys like Mayock and you know, Kuiper, they throw around about these guys, and then they come into the league and don't show out. You know what I'm saying? And then the organization is like, well, you know what? I won't cross the line with these guys. And then they basically have to go to another organization and try to prove themselves at the end of the day. And I think that's what they're faced with. But majority of guys, especially like Fisher or Ansah or the other name that you threw out there, also not to, the other guy I'm missing. Who am I thinking of? Regardless of the situation, the guy that he did mention came out there and did what they needed to do. That's why these teams know what they have, you know, projected for them in the future. That's how I see it.
Sorry about that, dealing with the kid right here.
No doubt. Well, no doubt. I'm going to let you get to him. That's why we got to the tail end of the show. At least we got that one out there. I didn't want to leave us with 10 minutes hanging. So, I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you, and I'll go to you first, Mr. Silver, because I know the Silver family is bugging out like always, like Anderson and Ignacio. You know, it's a lot of Silvers I deal with, man. I deal with a lot of Silvers in my life, man. You know what I'm saying? So, I need a plug, closeout, shout out to my nephews up there bothering them, doing what they need to do. You know, close the lid on the cookout.
Well,
Yeah, perfect. At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Great show again. Touched up on everything. Can't wait to listen to you guys preach on the baseball tomorrow to get some more talk about divisions and who's taking what. I'm definitely enthralled with baseball as it pertains to watching it on the season base. Again, this is the first year in a few years that I'm watching it as thoroughly as I am and truly, you know, appreciating the length of a season, the fact that from week to week, especially talking to you or listening to you guys on Wednesdays and hearing your opinion on some teams not change and hearing it change as weeks go by because of the way they play is really, truly cool and really appreciate the game more or less and appreciate the players and what they go through. So baseball, again, I'm definitely getting into it. Definitely out here in the West where it's so crowded, trying to get a winner. And again, I just can't wait to see some of these big league players and games out here in the ballpark. So get to see you guys, listen to you guys tomorrow. Come back in on Thursday and get some more picks on these basketball. And then the roundtable on Friday, I'm sure it'll be full of some boxing talk.
Okay, Mr. Beard, I need a plug, closeout, shout out. Anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout?
Yeah, good show for everybody. Hopefully, we and Ty can get to a baseball show tomorrow. We've got to talk and see what we've got. Don't let me down. Caps, go into Pittsburgh and get a W. I know it's going to be tough. Ovechkin, shut up all them people up there in Pittsburgh that make fun of you and everything else, and let's go Caps. We can still win this.
Okay, first and foremost, shout out to Russell. I hope I'm saying this right, and I don't want to say it wrong. Shout out to Ruslan Magomedov. I know you guys probably heard of him. He's a professional UFC fighter. He follows us on Twitter, and he says that we do good work. So, shout out to Ruslan. I definitely had to give him, you know what I'm saying, the shout, you know what I mean? So I'm happy that we got more people on the professional ranks, you know, checking us out here at Sports City, that's for sure. Al-Farouq Aminu is another one, man, I speak to also. Danny Swift, so, you know, like, I love it, man. I'm hoping I can get these guys in here to do some work with us, man. But SportsCityChefs.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Stay tuned to everything that we got going on throughout the week. Hopefully we put the baseball buffet together in here tomorrow. Speak on a lot of what's going down. Hopefully my boys went out today. I'm at the edge of my seat because I'm dealing with my boys on the road in Texas. Again, even in baseball, basketball and baseball, I got to worry about the state of Texas, man. I'm tired of the state of Texas right now. And shout out to the Raptors. They let my cousin start today in a playoff game, game one up against the Heat, man. I love it, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'll be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connects to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I wouldn't win insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.